This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Mission Indie Possible.
Go back to those gold sounds and keep my advent to yourself, because it's nothing I don't like. Is it a crisis or a boring change when it's central, so essential? It has a nice ring when you laugh at the low-life opinions, and they're coming to the chorus now. I keep my address to yourself, 'cause we need secrets. We need secrets, secrets back right now.
Welcome, everybody, to a semi-surprise edition of Mission Indie Possible. This is Steve Willey. We are going to be doing a little something special, something we've never done on Mission Indie Possible before, combining it with our other popular podcast, the PTBN Live Watch, and we will be live watching random matches from around the world. Japan, United States, who knows? Who knows where this will take us? We have a couple ideas in mind, and we're just going to free flow, because that's the joy of a live watch, is that we never know where we're going to end up. We never really know what to expect when we put these matches on. And I need at least one person to watch with me. Otherwise, it would be incredibly boring to just hear my voice talking over a wrestling match. And so today, I will bring in longtime live watch veteran, Mr. Jordan Duncan.
Good morning and salutations.
Yes, welcome to hashtag MatchStruck4.
And like I said, we're going all over the world. Japan, the United States.
And nowhere else.
Yes, but we are going through Japan via Russia, as we are using a Russian website
This match. So our great Russian overlords will be looking fondly upon us.
Suddenly, we are swayed to vote one way or the other, I believe.
Right. I see these Japanese female wrestlers pop up on my screen, and all of a sudden, I feel the urge to ride a horse with no shirt on.
I always feel that urge, though, so.
Well, the first match we're going to look at was recommended to us by several people, actually. Mm-hmm. And it is from Sendai Girls. It is Io Shirai versus Meiko Satomura. And the reason I thought this would be a great match to watch today was because Io Shirai just had her last match in Japan before coming to WWE. Mm-hmm. And rumored that she'll go right to NXT, perhaps be in one of the faces of the Mae Young Classic too.
Yep.
And then within the last few days, I don't even know if you know this, they have announced that Meiko will be in the Mae Young Classic as well.
Okay, I thought I heard that, but I wasn't sure. When I saw the names of who were watching, I'm like, I swear I just read something about her, so that must be what I was thinking.
And I have never seen Io. I've seen Meiko. Actually, I just saw her live at WrestleMania. I didn't even realize she was going to be there. She was at one of the things called Pancakes and Pile Drivers. It was like Pro Wrestling Revolver. And
sounds delicious.
They did literally have pancakes outside for you to have before. I think it started about 10:30 a.m. And she's been in Chikara for King of Trios. She was on a winning team, the Team Sendai Girls, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So I know I had seen her before.
I feel like I just came up with a title for a pro wrestling guerrilla show: International House of Pile Drivers.
We'd have to change it to B, though. What would be a good International
Body
House
slams?
Of Bear Hugs? Yes,
Bear Hugs. Bear Hugs.
So we will put the videos with embed them in a post for this podcast, so you can watch along with us. Yes. It might crash the website. Might give us all viruses, but you know what we'll do to suffer for wrestling is pretty vast.
Yeah, we're all in.
Yes.
No scalpers on this podcast.
Are you ready to start?
Yes, I am ready. So I'm looking at a screen that is got some pink and black, and maybe a firework right in the middle there.
Kind of looks like a video game.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the load screen, or maybe it looks like the old Titantron beginning for like the DX video for a second. It's the wrong color, you know? All right. So if you're watching with us, click on the link in the info, and we will start it off. Steve, you want to count us in?
Sure. Okay. I will count you in. Hold on 1 second. Okay. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We go right to the image of our competitors.
Io has a beautiful purple hair.
Yeah.
Meiko has her hair slicked back as per the usual.
I do think the tuxedo-wearing announcer is a long-lost art.
Well, yeah, especially a bright... Was that like a purple or a blue?
Bluish, I think I would say.
Now, I actually did a teeny tiny bit of research. I know that goes against everything we stand for here on a live watch. But I was wondering what titles they had on. And at this point, Shirai is the Wonder of Stardom champion. And Meiko Satomura is actually the Fight Club Pro champion, which is historically more of a men's title.
We should probably not talk about that. That's the first rule. Yes. So are either of these belts on the line?
I don't know. I cannot tell.
Okay. Well, this star-shaped belt makes me think this is the Wonder of Stardom championship.
Yes.
I will say, I believe this is my first match ever see, first time ever seeing her in action.
Same with me.
I have seen Meiko, and I believe Meiko's a pretty famous GIF file. That's her, correct? I retweeted it a couple months ago where she just kind of does a moonsault right into someone's knees and bounces off of them like a pinball.
Oh, wow.
I believe that's her. That's her.
Wow, Io has a... Or is it Io or Io?
I have no idea.
But she is definitely wearing a... purple, I can only describe it as a purple tiger mask.
Yeah, I was thinking tiger mask as well. I mean, maybe because, you know, it's a tiger and a mask, but as wrestling fans, that's what we think of.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a really, really cool mask.
And just to give our listeners a little bit of behind the scenes, I just lost my spot for a minute because Brad Woodling won't stop messaging me links to another podcast.
Oh.
That's how you shill, though.
Mm-hmm. So, and as Meiko comes to the ring, why don't you, as we're waiting, why don't you tell us about your podcast series you're working on?
Brad and I have been going through our favorite video game systems. Oh, not our favorite, really every system that we've owned, whether we like them or not, and giving our top four games from each system. We just recorded, what did we record? Oh, the Sega Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm. That just launched as we're speaking. It launched this morning.
Yep, that should be out by the time you guys are listening to this. I am back to the video now because I don't need a link to that podcast. I lived it.
About 3 minutes in.
The nice thing is my video continued to play while I was distracted.
It's amazing how our dear leader, one step below the Russian overlords, can interrupt, and it's just a lack of professionalism.
Yeah, he just wants in on this one without doing the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm. He was invited, turned us down. Something about family?
Yeah. Listen, you can find family anywhere. It's hard to find Meiko matches.
Mm-hmm.
Meiko's got a little bit of Shanna Baszler hair, it seems like, huh?
Yeah, she, at Mania, you could see how much the female wrestlers respected her, and like you could see where they were standing backstage, mm-hmm. from where you're sitting, and all of the women wrestlers were coming up to her and talking to her, and I'm assuming asking for advice.
Gotcha.
Ooh, some a sign of respect, but they were staring each other down.
Yeah. It's interesting to watch a match where you really don't know anything about it. I always wonder how much of the story you can pick up on just from diving in, you know, like mm-hmm. deep diving. We're not just getting our toes in. We're cannonballing into this thing.
Not cannibaling.
No. Or Hannibal from the A-Team.
I'm a big fan of velvet wrestling outfits.
Yeah, I am too.
Meiko has.
Katsuyori Shibata is the referee tonight, I think.
Well, he's going to find something to do, unfortunately.
Yeah, right. So when did this match take place? Do we have a – I see April 19th, but I don't know what year we're looking at.
This year, 2018. This is a current match.
Very recent. Okay.
And they've had a match before, and I believe it was either December 2016 or December 2017 that was very much heralded as a kind of a –
So on our old WWE live watches, we always do most 90s, most this, most that. I don't know if it's culturally insensitive to say like most Japan, but the guy in the Toyota t-shirt in the front row might be my vote.
Most Japan 2018.
Yeah. A lot of chain and wrestling to start,
Yeah, a little chain wrestling going back and forth.
I mean, I'm already picking up that Mayuko is kind of the power of the two.
Right. She's got the big kick pads on.
Yeah. I guess that'll be our running debate is if is it Io, Io, Yo?
Well, Io is the mood.
Well, and I know iOS is the operating system of an Apple phone. So.
I think we should give a shout out to Trent Williams. This morning.
Yeah.
He's going to like this match.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be a fan. I don't know where they'll fall on his final rankings, but we'll see. Randomly, there's a blonde woman in the crowd as well.
Is that actually in the crowd?
Yeah, she's up in the top left. You can't see her always, but she's near the Toyota guy.
Okay. Because I saw one of the seconds as a tag team partner.
Maybe it was Kenny Omega, actually. I'm not sure. Because it's blonde, curly hair. So this match is starting off very much on the mat. Lots of headlock exchanges, wrist locks, and a couple throws. Slow build to start, but, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, just back and forth. I mean, very similar to a...
Yeah, it's the feeling out process.
Yeah, more of a typical Japan-style start. Mm-hmm. I really do like the costumes in Joshi. There's more care taken into them. It's very creative.
And I hope that she's able to carry that over into her run in WWE. And with Asuka there, I mean, you can see that there's obviously a precedence for it, you know. So I don't see why she wouldn't be able to.
Yeah. Even Kairi Sane to a lesser extent with her. Yeah,
with the ship's wheel and the outfits and things.
Oh, sticking her knee right in the back. Yeah. Mako's
fighting out of it. Very old school feel so far in terms of how this is being done.
I think there's an older woman next to the Toyota guy who just threw back what looked like to be a very large beer.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
And I'm going right into a commercial here.
Oh, really? Okay.
It is for Limelight. I saw this one before it started.
Not to be confused with LimeWire.
Right. What it feels like when your e-commerce platform just works.
Oh, so you must have an auto ad because I'm continuing to watch and I never hit that commercial.
Yeah. We're right back.
Yep, and we're still, we're on the mat. Miko's in control here.
Yeah, Miko just tried a pinfall on mine here.
Oh, yeah, you're about 10 seconds behind me. That's all right.
Oh, I see the random blonde woman now.
Yeah.
She looks like Sally Jesse Raphael.
Yeah, she does. Perhaps priming for a big comeback.
Yep. In Sendai Girls.
Yeah. I don't know. Has talk show host ever been a gimmick that we've seen in pro wrestling? I'm sure some capacity, right?
Isaiah Washington a little bit? Was that his name in very last days of ECW? ECW, that was replaced by a show called NXT. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, you know what? I heard that was going to happen, but
mm-hmm.
I was busy drafting Yuji Nagata to my fantasy wrestling. Okay, here we go. We're starting to speed things up. Some heavy kicks for Miko. A roll over into a knee for a pinfall attempt. And all of a sudden, the chain wrestling seems to be done with. We're fighting now. I just saw EO or IO give a nice double knee to the gut.
Yep. I got to that point, yep.
Yep, I paused it until you said that. Now we think we're caught up with each other.
Yeah. Ah, the fun parts of the live watch.
Yeah, it's interesting how they basically spend the first close to 10 minutes we've watched already on the mat, and now they're just fighting, you know?
Oh, Mako went for the second rope, and I just...
Yeah, she got kicked right over that. Oh, I see the second blonde that you were talking about. Going for the dive, caught with an elbow. Mako hits now, hard. Oh, my goodness!
She's laughing.
Springboard double foot stomp. I don't know that I've seen that before. And that did not look safe.
Io's not exactly a large woman.
No, she's tiny.
115, 120 pounds.
Nice reverse kick just to the face. So Mayuko's in the Mae Young Classic 2.
Mm-hmm.
And do we know if Io's in? I mean, we know she's coming over to the WWE. I mean, it might be a good time to debut her, perhaps?
Yeah, I would assume so. Just float over into a crossface.
Yep. It's interesting how they kind of just go a little wild for a second, go right back to the mat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that a whole lot. Sometimes I feel like people just get the mat stuff out of the way because they feel like that's what you have to do.
Right, it's like a step-by-step
and then you never
process.
See it again, yeah.
Really, if you want to work a body part to wear the person down, it's a smart strategy.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Io rolled out of the crossface and just kneed Mako right in the face.
Yeah, she did. Almost like a V-trigger without the running start, maybe? I don't...
Yeah. And, like, by holding onto the wrist?
Yeah.
Too. That's
yeah,
a
like
big
a
thing in
short arm,
now.
A short arm knee.
The risk control has been pretty big.
Yeah.
In Japan, where they will zoom in on it to show you.
Miko's hurting from this one. Now putting a lot of pressure on the chest. Oh,
God.
Man. Oh, Miko's up. Oh, catches her with a clothesline.
You know, basically did the Vader bomb into knees and then...
Yeah.
Mako came out with a clothesline. Oh, Lucha-style arm drag.
Wow, right into a single crab, and she's going to an STF with it? Wow.
Very quick.
Yeah. Oh.
I know Mako's been around for a long time. I'm not sure how old she is, but...
And that STF is locked in there.
Yeah, right across the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mayuko Satomura is 38 years old.
Oh, wow.
I do remember reading before this that she is like the founder, and I can't of this, and I can't remember who she did it with, so I'm gonna look it up. I know it's a name that we know. Might have been one of the Michinoku Pro guys,
say Roger Morissette.
Yes,
we both know.
Oh, Jinsei Shinzaki.
Oh, okay, Hakushi.
Do you know she was in WCW for a hot minute?
This lady that we're watching?
Yeah. She was in...
It had to be like 96, 97, huh?
Yeah, the Women's Championship Tournament.
Wow, that's surprising. No, I'm not familiar with the name. But then again, I wasn't really into it back then. I mean, all I could tell you is Medusa and Akira Hokuto.
Yeah,
which
that's
pretty much all that were presented. Yeah.
And then that's pretty much when WWF brought back the women's division for a while after that.
Yeah.
The 10 women tag. It was Medusa and then one other person. They would just keep switching who the other person was. And that was it.
Yep.
That was your women's division.
Yep.
And we finally broke that.
Yeah, STF gets broken. Just a hard slap to the face. And another one. Oh, Io, I don't think you're going to win this battle.
Fighting from a down position on top
Mako's
of it.
Mako's like smiling. Oh, she's happy.
God.
She is. Oh, and these are closed fists now. She's smiling the whole time. She enjoys it. Ducks the clothesline. That's a second. Second springboard that almost led to nothing. Mayako did one earlier and just got kicked in the face for her troubles. I think we're getting ready for some kind of dive. Here we go. Ooh.
Oh, whoa.
Suicide dive into a cross body.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be a regular typical punch we see all the time, and she twisted into a crossbody.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It always surprises me how accurate those dives are.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that they would be tripped up on the ropes way more
especially
often.
Especially with their feet, you know? I mean, I don't... It's something we don't give credit to how good professional wrestlers are at what they do. Like, I can't even, like, I was at the movies yesterday, and, you know, like, the guardrail, I tried to walk through it like I'm entering the ropes of a ring, and I still tripped up, just stepping through it, let alone getting a running dive, hitting someone with pinpoint accuracy.
When I was younger, I used to do that with fences. I used to try to jump over the top, I was entering the ring that way, and I used to be able to do it. Now I'll start to do it, and I'm like, nope, not going to do it.
619. Heavy springboard drop kick. Yeah. These kicks in these knees look like they're just hitting with a lot of force. So do you have the volume on?
Yes.
How are the announcers? Are they very excited?
No, not really. They're actually kind of muted.
Oh, okay. Interesting. And we go to a sleeper hold. Oh, and there's some rage in Mayako's eyes. Think she's had enough. Uh-oh. Oh, look like she's going for a back suplex. Quite. Yep, there it is. Oh.
On the back of her neck and shoulders.
Yep. Oh, she's going for another.
On the back of her head.
The highest of angles. High angle backdrop suplex. Kicks out at two, but barely. More like she managed to roll her body to the side. Oof. Right into a DDT. Oh!
Like a round off into a shin to the back of the head.
Like a cartwheel shin. Oh. And I think Io's dead. I think she's dead, Steve.
We got TKO.
So what's cool about matches like this is, an uppercut. I have no idea what either woman's finish is, so
no,
I'll bite on just about anything. Ooh, showing some strength there.
Yeah, wrist capture German suplex. Yeah, she got, I thought she had her.
She had her dead weighted up there for a few seconds before she went over with it, too. What's nice is I don't have my play. Like, I don't know how far we are into the match in terms of the video, so I don't know how much longer is left, so I'm starting to think any of these could be the finish.
Right.
And I don't want to click and bring it up and know, oh, we got 20 minutes to go or something.
And one note I made before, like, Io was supposed to be signed last year to WWE, but she had some neck and maybe even heart issues. So clearly those have healed up if they signed her.
That's interesting. She kicked out by bridging there, Mayako.
Oh, I watched earlier this year. I was like the All Japan Women. Oh, moonsault missed, and this was like early '80s All Japan Women, and incredibly exciting, like Lioness Asuka and
sure,
and that was how they kicked out all the time. Huh. Was like just kind of bridging and sliding out.
Interesting. A lot of bridging.
Yeah, because the men wouldn't do that, but it must have been. But man, the heat on those matches were incredible. Yeah,
dump Matsumoto and
mm-hmm.
Toyota's getting excited. Mayuko's revving up her engine, so to speak.
Do you see the drink in the older woman?
Oh yeah, she's going to town. She's going to town.
And it doesn't look like someone who would be going to town.
No,
probably in her 50s.
Well, you can see like the flushness on her face already, so those they're having an effect. What's funny is she's drinking out of a glass, like in an arena show.
Yeah,
you know. we're discussing this because both ladies are down and hurting right now. Both struggling to get up. Shibata's not doing much here as a ref to make sure they do. All right, Mako's up first, and we're going to the elbows.
There's a whole slew of grandmas in the first row.
Now, what do you think about this as kind of a Japanese trope where almost every match kind of has to go to the elbow versus elbow spot?
Right.
Or forearm versus forearm. I don't know how I feel about it. Oh, there's another uppercut. Oh, spinning kick right to the mouth. You know, I've been saying Mayuko is smiling. I think she just shows her teeth a lot.
Yeah.
But they're very, very white, though. She takes good care of her teeth.
Oh, just murdering her with kicks in the head, and Hayo just rolls to the outside dead.
Nice kick right to the side of the head. Oh, they're spraying her with the cold spray out there. Or possibly bug spray. Maybe there's a lot of mosquitoes.
Yes. We need more cold spray in American wrestling.
Yeah. So are Io's legs taped? Is that part of her gear? It almost looked like one of her legs would have been wrapped up.
I was wondering if she was just wearing like tights or pantyhose. I know a lot of women do that now to kind of stay in their outfit.
Yeah. But it almost looked like there was some tape on her left leg.
Yep. Yeah, when they did a close-up earlier. Oh.
They're right in the crowd. Poor grandma. Oh!
I think they're getting some of the seconds to help out a little bit, but she was sitting on some people's lap as she's getting kicked.
Kicked and falling into the lap. Oh, that's...
Oh, it's kind of like a Dalton Castle type.
Yeah.
Throw into the ring and spin around and give her a kick.
Yeah. Kick didn't look like it had a lot of force to it, but... Mm-mm. I'm digging those track pants with all the stars on them, though. That second's wearing.
Uh-oh.
Whoa!
Nice
moonsault. She almost caught her with the knee.
Moonsault from the top to the floor.
Yep.
By you.
It looks like someone recently watched There's Something About Mary with the hairdo right there.
Yes. That was her partner, Mako's partner in Chikara. It's kind of like a wild and crazy.
Yeah, she almost kind of looks like she's going for like a bull Nakano or, yeah. Or Nakano. Or Scott would
say. One of the other tropes that I don't like in Japan a lot is the 19 count.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a few on every single show.
Yeah, John Pollock and Wei Ting were talking about that on one of their reviews, how in Japan it actually kind of works as a near fall sometimes. But if mm-hmm. you try that in WWE, nobody ever really gets invested in the 9 count, you know?
Yeah.
But it is overdone, I would say that.
Palm strikes.
Yeah, oh, right into
it. Mm. Oh, kind of like a Angel's Wings from Christopher Daniels. I thought she was going to drop her in a pile driver and murder her.
Oh, she's tried stepping over her again and didn't get away with it this time. She stepped right over her to do that moonsault, and this time, oh! Mako with a Pele kick. Oh, she's trying to finish. Nope. Io reverses. Oh, she just got that cinched in.
Dragon Sleeper and lifting her up.
Tombstone? Wow!
Oh, Dragon Sleeper
and
into her.
She's
so mean.
I know. Hmm.
Oh!
And another kick.
Kind of locked the moonsault, then gave her a Pele when she was on the top rope.
Yeah. I think that's her move. She's tried that. That's the third time she's attempted this move. First time she's hit it. Let's see if that does it.
Like a Death Valley.
Yeah, but she kicks out. I would say, first match watching, I'm guessing that's her move. Because they built to it for... That's her third attempt. First hit. Oh!
Oh, no, he went to a commercial for me.
Oh, so
this guy in the mullet, I hate him.
So as we come back, she went for what looked like a shining wizard, then turned it into like a top of the head, full leg extension kick. I'm going to pause where I'm at until you get back there so you can watch it for yourself.
I'm going to have to find this video, this commercial, and send it to everyone because
we can live watch that next.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Okay. Now I just saw it.
Yep.
And she like covers. Stepped off by her leg and kicked her with an axe kick right in the
right
head.
On the skull. And she's covering her, but the ref isn't counting.
The bell just rang.
Oh, we must have time limit. Time limit. Yep. 20-minute draw. Wow.
And she would have had the pin there.
I think so.
Because Io is out cold.
I think so. Yeah.
That kick was incredible. It's like, yeah, like you said, a shining wizard where she stepped off the quadricep.
Yep. Hmm. Wow, time limit draw is another thing we don't see very much anymore, huh?
No. Surprised it was only 20 minutes.
Yeah, it did not feel like that long at all.
So, overall, any impressions?
I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
I'm excited about both women moving forward. Now, a lot of times when somebody gets signed to WWE, I have mixed feelings. You know, like a Keith Lee, my personal opinion is I would rather he stay in the indies because I think I see him more there. But these ladies, this is the first time I've ever seen them. So, going to NXT is probably going to give me more opportunity to see them. So, in that sense, I'm all for it. It's kind of a case-by-case basis for me. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing both of these two wrestle some more.
Excellent. Yeah, and I'm hoping, like, it sure seems like Io's going to be there for the long haul. I'm hoping Mayuko gets more than just one look, considering her age. You know, maybe she can be there for a couple years.
Well, I mean, I mentioned the Shayna Baszler hair at the beginning, but she really does have a bit of Baszler style with a lot of the matte stuff and just some brutalness to her. I don't want to say that that's who she should be facing right off the bat, but you know, you don't see a lot of women who are just like not over, like not like Nia Jax where they're way bigger than the other women, but just same size for the most part, but I'm just stronger and more powerful than you. That's kind of a rare character.
And I think that NXT has the ability to bring someone in for a couple tapings, build them up, give them a title shot or a brief feud. And they do that occasionally with the men from England, like the whole Roderick Strong,
Pete Dunne,
that really just took over a set of tapings.
Yep. But yeah, excellent match. And they got me with a 20-minute draw because, something we rarely see really in any promotion. I would say WWE, but when do we see time limit draws anymore, anywhere? And, you know, she was covering her. The ref wasn't counting, and I was wondering what was going on.
And it was over at that point. Yeah. I mean, that would have been.
I think that would have been the finish.
And so, I'm wondering, just because both had titles from separate
organizations. I was just going to say, I wonder if both titles were on the line, and so that's why they got to what they to where they went.
I looked up the match I saw because I just didn't remember the third, and it was Mayuko versus Jessica Havoc versus Kimberly, which I think she was added on at the last second after she got let go or by WWE, or they mutually parted ways.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, why don't we pause here for a second, and then we'll be back with our second match.
Sounds good.
Right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Welcome back to Mission Indie Possible, a live watch special. Steve Willey, along with Jordan Duncan. We just got done watching a match from Sendai Girls in Japan, and now we're going to switch right over to WWE Network in the Hidden Gem section. And Jordan, you found this one, so I'm going to let you talk about it.
So here's my thing. I think we've discussed before that it's not hard to find good wrestling in 2018. Even in WWE, as much as I criticize their booking and their decisions, the match quality is always there. Independence, Japan, you can find it. But I feel like there's something missing from the wrestling that I grew up with. And I had trouble pinpointing what it was until I dug into the hidden gems and I realized, you know what wrestling's missing today, Steve?
No.
Diapers. It's missing diapers.
Ooh.
So, if you're following along with us, go to your hidden gems, go to 1984, and look for a match that's titled A Diaper for Cornette. Jim Cornette, a guy who famously thinks that comedy and wrestling detracts from it, apparently is willing to wear a diaper if he loses this match or his team loses this match. So, interesting.
Money doesn't equal money.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's very serious. Maybe he's got a disease. Maybe he's forced to wear the diaper, Steve. Who knows? But we're going to be watching a tag team match. Cowboy Bill Watts and Stagger Lee are taking on the Midnights, and I assume that if the Cowboy and Stagger Lee win, Jim Cornette's wearing a diaper, and I'm excited to find out.
I will get to the beginning of this. We got the.
I'm so excited. I might be wearing a diaper myself at this point.
No, I'm not going to say the name of the organization because I don't think they want to be associated with a wrestling podcast. But my wife works for a major company that makes diapers, and I'm wondering if there's a branding opportunity there that maybe produce diapers for wrestling and then have the big logo on it, and parents will see them and they're like, you know, that holds up pretty well on a Jim Cornette, and I want to have that for my baby.
I mean, I feel like diapers is kind of a missed opportunity in the wrestling business because you hear so many scatological stories of backstage and things like that. You'd think that perhaps diapers may have prevented so many problems over the years.
Oh, just a deterrent to Randy Orton alone.
Yeah, and Andre the Giant, you know. Bad News Brown may not be so angry if Andre had been properly diapered.
All right. Well, I got past the WWE Network ad for Tap Out, now available at JCPenney. Does anyone shop at JCPenney anymore?
I only buy my diapers from there.
Oh. So I am on. It looks like it goes straight into the match.
Yep. We go right into the ring. No entrances, nothing. Who needs that stuff?
All right. Are you set to go?
I am good to go.
All right. We'll count you back in 3, 2, 1. And this is in Mid-South. And my dear God.
That crowd is nuts.
Yeah.
And we haven't even started. So this has a runtime of about 17 minutes, but who knows how long the match is, because if Cowboy wins, we're going to have to watch a diaper get put on.
Says this event was originally recorded without television announcer commentary, and I don't think they need it. Bill Watts starting with some punches.
Yep. Some nice right hands.
So that's definitely Bobby Eaton. Is that Randy Rose?
That's got to be.
Because Condry was.
Is Stagger Lee the Junkyard Dog?
Stagger Lee has orange and green clown pants?
But his mannerisms, that's the Junkyard Dog, isn't it? I think it might be. So if you like hard right hands, the first minute of this match is yours. We've got blood already. We've got blood a minute in, and all we've had is 8 right hand punches.
Man, the crowd chanting boom with every punch. Well, Bill Watts has his fist taped.
Yeah.
And this is Mid-South, so you know Bill Watts is the best wrestler of all time.
Yeah. Ooh, punch him right off the top rope.
Crowd is jumping up and down.
The Cowboy doesn't need to do anything but punch people. Yeah,
Stagger Lee is indeed Junkyard Dog.
Yeah, we discussed that before, who Stagger Lee was. I thought perhaps Stagger Lee Marshall. So, fan of the Miami Hurricanes? Is that what he's trying to say here with this outfit? Green and orange. I'm not sure what other. I think of the Hurricanes. I don't know any other organizations. 7-Eleven, perhaps?
Well, JYD lost a loser leaves Mid-South match.
Okay.
Dude, Ted DiBiase and Matt Bourne. So
this is a Dirty Yellow Dog type situation.
Yeah, okay. The old 80s trope, like everyone knows who it is. Yeah. And
oh, and he's getting in on the action. Whoa, is he fondling? What is
happening? Yeah, Junkyard Dog, I think Junkyard Dog's hand is down. Handsome.
Maybe that's how you properly size a diaper. Oh.
This match consists solely of Bill Watts punching people in the face.
And the crowd loves it. Although the crowd we can see is at least seated now.
Right.
Trying to tag in.
Bobby Eaton trying to tag.
Bobby
Eaton
tags in, staggeringly gets punched in the face. That's great. So Bobby Eaton, covered in blood, unaware of what he's doing, tried to tag out, tagged Stagger Lee, got out under the ring apron and got punched for his troubles. Okay, I think Cowboy just took off some nucks. He saw Stagger on his hand.
He had his hand taped.
Okay, yeah.
Now it's not taped. His hand is filled with blood.
Yeah, Stagger Lee helped him take something off his hand there.
This is Condry. I just couldn't tell because we were just seeing the back of his hair.
Yeah. Man, look at these guys standing up in those hats. Look at that mullet and the white shirt. That is Mid-South.
Bobby. The Ford tank top tucked in.
Yep.
With the trucker hat.
Yep. Bobby is not so beautiful right now. Camera work leaves a little to be desired here.
We just see Bobby Eaton's butt right now. Yeah. And nothing else.
In the crowd.
In the crowd, yes.
Stagger Lee must have been tagged in. Oh, yeah, that's a Junkyard Dog. That's for sure.
Yeah. Midnight Express have not got one move in yet. No. They're just bumping. Bleeding, bumping. And I don't actually... Oh, there's Jim Cornette.
Yeah, I spotted him in the powder blue at the very beginning.
I do like Bill Watts selling his fist over and over again, which I guess after you punched 30 times, your fist is going to be sore.
The Stagger is... Oh, an eye poke.
Bobby Eaton's like acting like he doesn't even know where he is. He's just, no pun intended, but staggering all over the place.
Hey, he hasn't made the tag out yet either. I mean, Condry's taking some beatings, but not because he was tagged in. This has been all Bobby so far.
So, Bill Watts is brilliant.
Would you say the style here is slightly different from our first match?
Yes.
What if I told you...
Oh my God, he's still can't get a move in. Hey, first offensive move.
A jumping knee. What if I told you this match actually has the same finish as the last match that we saw, where Stagger Lee hits the Shining Wizard into the extended top head kick on Dennis Condry?
I looked that up as in between the break. It was called Scorpio Rising, that move.
Very cool move. Oh, Cornette's in there. Cornette's getting some tennis racket shots. He's got more offense than his team has at this point.
And the reason I said Bill Watts is so brilliant, he books himself to be a megastar.
Yep.
All he's done is punches. Yeah. And then he's taken like one half bump.
And now he's, quote, selling.
Yeah, just laying down, on the ground.
Resting up from all those punches he threw.
Yeah. Just taking kicks to the back as he's laying.
And I'm yet, assuming. I would say he's probably the better worker of the two people on his team.
Yes.
In terms of match quality, I mean, worker is a broad term. I mean, Junkyard Dog, for all the criticism we give him, was quite the star. And it looks like he was being choked. Okay, I thought he was... Couldn't quite tell if Condry was in pain or what was happening there. Midnight's in full control at this point.
One of my favorite wrestling tropes is when the first like 8 minutes of a tag team match and they're just all going at each other with no rules, and then all of a sudden, like 10 minutes in, the ref's like, "Okay, one in, one out."
Yeah, like, all right.
All of a sudden,
break it up.
Or I think this is in the Takeover match. It was like a 3-way tag with Authors of Pain and Undisputed Era and.
And Roddy
and Dunn. and the whole match, all teams are in, and all of a sudden, one of the Authors of Pain just steps out and then tags back in immediately.
Oh, trucker hat giving Cornette middle finger.
And there's a mom, an old mom, and adult daughter in the front row, yep, pretending they're rocking Jim Cornette to sleep.
We came for diapers.
We like to see grown man in diapers.
Stagger reaching, thinking maybe he can reach Watts from there.
Yeah, I mean, Watts is, again, great. He's just been sitting on the mat, laying on the mat or sitting on the mat without moving, pretty much. Now he's trying to stand up with the help of Dennis Gondry.
Uh-oh. Bobby Eaton back in. Clubbing blow. Oh.
Butt bump.
Yeah, throat shot puts Watts to the floor. Lots of choking. Can we just rewind and watch the first 5 minutes again?
Yeah, this is really slow down. We're just kind of working a chin lock and a...
So you always have to wonder, like, obviously there's a feud here, but why diapers? Like, what... I guess because Cornette's a baby, I mean, makes sense, but... Is Cornette not wearing glasses?
No, he's not. Hmm.
We got a full-on cowboy really hat in the front row.
This is really slowed down. Really slowed down.
So we talked in the last match about how people start with mat wrestling a lot and just get it out of the way, whereas the ladies, they went to the mat, then did some spots and went back to the mat. This one has gone to the mat, and I'm not sure we're going to recover from it.
Yeah. And I don't mind, like, chain wrestling mat work, or take, in this case, you know, sitting down on the guy to wear him out, especially after you're going full tilt. But when Watts is just laying on his stomach and occasionally tapping his feet,
yeah,
and that's his way that he's working out of it, it's like, okay.
And I mean, even the chin lock, there's no real reason why chin lock compared to, I mean, he's got a leg taped up,
mm-hmm,
you know, like put him in a single crab, you know, a half crab.
And even Eaton, who's known for selling well, is just occasionally cranking every 30 seconds and break the eyes now.
Yeah, there's a rake of the eyes. Watts is down.
Still laying down on his stomach.
Elbow. Big smash elbow. Go right back to the chin lock because, you know, deliver that elbow to the mid-back, then wrench on that chin.
And if you're protecting your manager, I think you would be trying to wrap this up as quickly as possible via cheating, you know, low blows, small packages, and get the heck out of there.
I also think, too, watching this match, now, granted, there's still some minutes to go and things can change. I think that WWE's a little liberal with the term hidden gems at this point.
I texted my wife as we were watching this, since there was a 2 minute long chin lock, and told her about the possible branding opportunities for diapers and wrestling. I just got a text back that said, "Oh God," with an exclamation point.
I feel like that's a podcast that could be done. We just bring in all us married guys and we just tell stories about how we explain to our wives what we are actually doing with podcasting.
Yeah,
it relates to pro wrestling.
I've tried to get my wife back into watching wrestling just occasionally, mm-hmm, and it hasn't happened. So I am totally 100% convinced.
Hot tag to Stagger Lee.
But the referee didn't see it.
And Cornette chooses to go to the stomach with the tennis racket.
And the ref saw it, didn't do anything about it. Letting Stagger Lee come in without the tag, even though he was just chastising him.
I think he's going to get disqualified. Double noggin knocker. Move we don't see very often anymore.
World's worst power slam.
Yep, the thump. Is that Braun Strowman under that mask?
Oh, Cornette tosses in the tennis racket. Right, Eaton hits Stagger Lee in the throat.
Right in the throat. Are we going to get an alibi? No, he's just going to go for the cover.
Now, Bob Eaton has a pin, and the referee not seeing it. Who's legal in this? Sagar Lee's not even legal.
You know, there's a great debate in wrestling about how much a match is laid out and just letting guys call it as they go. And I think this is an example of, you know, maybe just lay out the whole thing ahead of time.
Cornette handing cocaine, I believe, to Bobby Eaton.
Yeah.
Oh, and it backfired. A face full of coke.
He's going to need that baby powder if he gets that diaper on.
Is he going to win off a body slam?
Oh, my God.
He did.
Oh, my God.
Now, the crowd loves it, so it did its work.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Pro Wrestling Only, and the two people who reviewed it, one I believe is Marty Sleaze.
Okay.
4.25.
What? Out of how many?
And then the next person, 4.5.
Out of what, 20? Is that Magnum TA celebrating in there?
That is Magnum. Who is the older guy in the
Nelson Mandela? Pope John Paul?
Why is Ernest Borgnine in the ring?
Abe Vigoda ready to put a diaper on.
It looks like Abe Vigoda in drag.
It's the Grand Marshal of Ceremonies. Official diaper administrator.
No, now Magnum and Bill Watson, Stagger Lee have Cornette, and they're just beating up on him because they're big bullies.
Is this guy the great and powerful Oz, perhaps?
It could be.
Cornette trying to get out for the 8th time.
Could be Betty White with a shaved head.
He's really milking that crowd by standing motionless in the corner.
This is not a diaper, by the way.
No,
this is like
bedsheet.
It's a bed sheet. And what has he got in his left hand?
Is it a baby bottle?
Oh, a giant oversized baby bottle.
Yeah. Now, if they did this today on Raw, I feel like it would be done better because they would have put the money into produce a giant changing table up on the stage. You know? Like, Jim is accepting his fate. Jacket's come off. Question is, will he go fully nude? I don't think so. Oh, and Stagger Lee's putting on the suit coat.
I don't think that's going to fit.
To quote Tommy Boy, fat guy in a little coat.
I'll give him the tie.
Yeah.
Jim Cornette's selling this like it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. Oh, he ripped his pocket off his shirt. Bill Watts ripped his pocket off. Jim's got the shirt off. Oh.
Pants. What is that?
You know, if you just turned it on now, this would... Like, if someone walked into the room as I'm watching this, I couldn't say, no, they had a wrestling match, and now he's got to wear a diaper. I don't think... Oh, schoolboy!
What's
happening?
Oh, Cornette is a... Funny does not equal money.
Oh, it's not the diaper. That's the sheet. This needs to be sanitary, this diaper.
Mm-hmm. Bill Watts can't figure out how to fold it. It's literally just a bed sheet.
Yeah.
Probably taken from the hotel.
See, I thought for a second they were laying the sheet down and a diaper was going to be administered, but nope.
Yeah. And ironically, Jim Cornette's underwear is far more embarrassing than the bed sheet. Oh, it was baby powder.
Yeah, a whole thing of it.
Yeah.
Is that the safety pin, perhaps? They're not going to circumcise him, are they? No, Stagger Lee does have a giant baby bottle.
Yeah.
I don't think this would play well today.
No, this is some sort of odd fetish that they're getting way too much pleasure in doing.
Keep in mind, folks that are listening, Jim Cornette believes people like Kenny Omega are ruining wrestling.
Yeah. And that Colt Cabana can't draw a dime because no one wants to see comedy in wrestling.
And he kept the bottle in his mouth for about 7 seconds.
Yeah. And he's currently wearing a really mis-sized underwear, a bed sheet that's really like a toga, and a pair of black dress socks.
And Bill Watts keeps asking him to parade around like a woman. He understands that diapers are for children, right?
Did he just happened?
I have no idea
this
what's going on.
This is sexually fetishized. He just staggeringly just kissed him straight hard on the mouth while he's wearing supposedly wearing a diaper.
As Bill Watts is asking him to parade around like a woman, they know what diapers are for, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's hope this one stays hidden. Oh, my. And that's about it. Next episode, Blood and Guts.
That was something.
I apologize.
Well, I guess that. I mean, we look for the weird, wacky, and wild.
Yeah.
And in a way, that was a hidden gem.
Yeah, for us.
I mean, if we were rated as a gem, like maybe as a rock.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think Cobalt? It's obvious that it would be talcum. Talc.
That's true.
Just straight up talc.
So which match do you think was better of the two so far?
talked to our buddy Glenn Butler about if we just went through all the hidden gems and rated them on the Mohs scale of mineral hardness.
Oh, we could do that.
Yeah. Like as the 10, basically a 10-star scale.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
And ironically, talc, I've used ironically a lot, but I'm going with it. Defined it as a value of 1 on the Mohs scale of mineral hardness, which is the lowest you can get.
That's exactly what I think we would rate this match then.
For people who are going, I have a feeling we're going to get some pushback on this, but man, it was a great first 5 minutes.
Yep. And then it ended. We'll just say that's what happened. If you like masked men kissing other men in bedsheets, there's probably other things you can watch.
That are supposed to represent diapers.
Yeah, there's probably other things you can watch. But this is not where we're ending today, Steve. We're not going to end on a low note, I hope.
No, we're going to end, a little bit on a high, a little bit on a sad.
Yep.
The week that we're taping this, we lost one of the greatest big men of all time, Vader. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to do our own little hidden gem, and instead of doing maybe New Japan or WCW, and we can mostly forget about his WWE run, we are going to take a look at Vader versus Tamura in UWFI, which is kind of like a shoot type promotion. Are you loading yours up right now? Or?
Yes.
Okay, it will just take me a second here. This is you can find this on YouTube.
Yes, and we're going to give the listeners a minute to look that up. Just search Vader Tamura. It's from 1994. You should be able to find it. And while you do that, we're going to give us a second break. So listen to some ads. And when we come back, let's watch some Vader.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceForNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place for Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talking Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaySpation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaySpation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaySpation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
We are back, and as we said, going into the break, Mission Impossible live watch party. I'm here with Jordan Duncan. This is Steve Willey, and we wanted to watch a little Vader. One of my favorites. I am pretty sure, you know, from talking over the years, that you've been a big fan of Vader as well.
Yeah, you know, we met through a old LiveJournal blog. Actually, it was Scott Keith's, and then we kind of broke off and did our own thing. And if you remember, we did like a best big man wrestling tournament.
Where oh, that's right.
And I don't know that Vader won it. I don't remember if he did, but he was the one I stumped for heavily.
Mm-hmm.
In it. It was Vader was in there. Big Boss Man was another one we had rated very highly. I don't know who else, but I do remember that, and I remember Vader went pretty far. He should have won, whether he did or not.
I take Vader over Big Boss Man every day of the week.
Same here. I want to say Bam Bam did okay as well, but again, Bam Bam's got some high highs, but I don't think he has the sustained career of Vader.
Right, and not as... You wouldn't think of Vader as a diverse guy, but as we're going to see now, and I don't know how much of these I've seen, but kind of like the semi-shoot style.
Yeah, I want to say I've seen this match when I first got into tape trading, but mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you anything about it at this point. This is years ago. I mean, the match itself is 25 years old almost, and I probably watched it 15 years ago. So
right. And Vader known for his New Japan stuff as well, but I know we've been talking on that on the main event, cheap plug.
Yep.
I've been on, gosh, I think 14 of the last 15 episodes doing TNA reviews and New Japan Classic match reviews.
Basically the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, and his Vader's All Japan stuff is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like the stuff with Misawa. And
yeah, which is especially cool because that was after his WWF kind of failure.
Right, like calling him a fat pig.
Yeah, I mean, it started off well. Like, 96 Vader's okay, and even in 97, I think the matches are still good. But, you know, Vader in 98, it's just kind of a huge waste. And I don't even put that all on WWE because he was probably the biggest he'd ever been and things like that. But, yeah, to see him come back right away and just start having good matches right off the bat, you know. And I mean, you could say, well, it's with Misawa, but I mean, I'm not a big Akira Taue fan, and there's a really good Akira Taue match.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Just, you know, stiff forearms and
yep.
mega power bombs. And
yeah, lots of fun stuff.
All right, so as we said going into the break, this is on YouTube. If you type in Vader space Tamura, T-A-M-U-R-A, it is the first thing that comes up. And this is recommended to us by Chad Campbell, our good buddy. Who could not be with us today because, as we said, family, and family comes first, I suppose.
I challenge Chad Campbell right now. Steve and I are going to team up. We're going to take on Justin and Scott, and if we win, Chad has to wear a diaper.
Oh, very good. Yeah. And, yeah, and not look at Attitude Era matches because, you know,
yeah,
who hasn't done that?
Right, exactly. Come on.
All right, we will be starting this. It's about 13 minutes and 50 seconds. It looks like it starts with a brief interview with Vader wearing the coolest ass 90 shades that you've ever seen.
That do not fit his head.
Yeah, way smaller than it should. All right, we will count back. Are you set on the screen?
I'm good to go, yeah.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
I'm here tonight to fight with Tamura and
I never thought Vader's voice really fit his.
Yeah.
I guess I just always expect deeper, gravelly, like, monster voice. Like Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget. You know?
I had the volume up for that. And he said he is willing to, he's happy to fight Kimura, and he's going to win the fight. It's like you said, not the best promo, and then he'll go on to the final and doesn't care who he has to face. So this is a tournament of some sort.
Are we watching New Japan, or is this the Rings promotion?
I think this is UFI, and I can check that.
Okay.
As we
Kiyoshi Tamura, correct?
Yes. If you go to IVP Videos, which is a guy who I've bought stuff from over the years, he has specials on the Vader.
Oh, okay.
Blu-rays, and one of them is a UWFI, and it's $3 for a Blu-ray.
Can't beat that.
Nope.
I'm watching without volume, but I did hear your volume, and Tamura's got some theme music right out of the Super Nintendo, it sounded like.
Yeah, this is... like the possibility of June 10th, 1994.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So, I mean, he's had his WCW run, but he was in WCW still at this point because he was there till 95, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I know he fought Hogan a few times, so.
This is 93 to 95. It looks like he was in UWFI.
Okay.
It actually looks like a pretty darn sweet Blu-ray. Yeah,
Japan's history is very interesting because there are different promotions and stuff, but you see a lot of the guys work with each other, and you know, I think this was still where Vader was more linked with New Japan. It wasn't All Japan until he left the WWF. So maybe he's here representing New Japan rather than WCW.
What was great about the entrance here is that it was very similar to Virtual Pro Wrestling 2, where you see them briefly in the locker room.
Yep.
Be interesting to see. I've never seen UWFI before, and I wonder if it is like a work shoot, because
I think we're going to see some heavy leg kicks from Tamura. That's my guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they announced him as from WCW.
Okay. Yeah, I heard that.
Holy cow. I barely have my volume on, and I'm sure everyone heard that. Vader's elbow is pretty heavily taped.
Now, I noticed nobody seconded Vader, so if he loses, who has to put on the diaper?
Oh.
I'm just not sure. Like, Tamura's got two or three guys that could be clad in diapers by the time this is over. Yeah, taped up elbow. Tamura does not look intimidated.
No, he's got a taped up knee.
Because I would be intimidated. Oh, he slapped him right in the face.
Whoa, Vader was trying to shake his hand. That did not make Big Vader happy.
No.
Oh, the mask is off.
Yep. Okay, here we go. This could be anything. I mean, this could be a lot of strikes. We could be spending a lot of time on the mat. As I said earlier, I want to say I've seen this match, but I can't guarantee it. And if I have, though, it's been over a decade. Yeah, Kimura's looking to kick there. He's looking for the kicks.
I wonder who would win in a real fight between these two.
Yeah, I mean, like a sanctioned fight, or like they're backstage and they're mad at each other fight.
They're backstage and they're mad at each other. Yeah, I mean, if Vader threw a punch right away, it could be over.
Yeah, I feel like if the space is small enough and Tamura can't move around, I don't know that he's got much of a chance.
But I would be intimidated no matter what my background.
Yeah. Well, there's just one swift strike from Vader that kind of staggered him a little.
Stagger lead him. Yeah. Tamura's strategy is just kick the thigh.
Yep. Which is an effective strategy, I mean.
Trying to lock out that leg. But Vader is padded down there.
Yeah. And so he's showing no signs of feeling anything. Oh, there he stretches it out a little bit. So Japan had this weird fetish for a while where they would take like MMA guys and put them in the ring with professional wrestlers, and the professional wrestlers would just get slaughtered. And that, in a way, that really hurt New Japan for years. in the long run, the short term, of course, those guys were big stars. Okay, we're finally locked up a little bit as Tamura has a leg, but okay, it says 14-15. Are we keeping score?
Oh, maybe it's a rope break?
Oh, could be. Yeah, could be.
15 rope breaks seems to be a lot.
Yeah. Now, I know some of the old Japanese, I don't know that UWFI was, but they had, did we just get a replay?
Yeah.
Okay. They had like rounds, you know, like 3 to 5 minute rounds. I don't know that this one, I know the Rings promotion had that.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot happening just yet.
Just some hamstring kicks.
Yeah. Big ham hocks being kicked.
I'm waiting for Vader to pull out the handspring shin kick to the back of Tamura's head.
Oh, Vader's got him in the corner now. Oh, liver punch.
Oh,
Tamura's fighting back.
Some quick hands and a big kicks to the legs.
And we,
oh, try to hit him in the head. Vader shakes it off.
Yeah.
Here's the replay of that. None of those hands hit, nah. But the legs and the kicks did.
And he's trying to get that leg again.
Oh, Vader down to one knee.
And Vader loses a point again?
I think it is a rope break. Yeah.
I wonder if no one told him the rules.
It was like the Ring of Honor, the pure title matches where
yeah.
You lose rope breaks and some of them didn't realize it.
Ooh, and that one hurt Vader.
That oh, leg kick
got
strike.
Him wincing. Yep. No, he's wincing on those kicks now. And we're going to see it again.
It's a very odd production.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't even make it look like he's going into like a heel hook there, huh?
Yeah. Oh, he got it. No, Vader's kind of rolling out of it. Into the ropes again. Down to 12 rope breaks, people.
Yeah. Your last 12, Vader. Use them wisely.
Wasn't there a match in WCW that Dean Malenko had to lose because of some odd rules that no one told him about?
Yeah, that was just before they all left for WWF. It was like catch-as-catch-can. I think it was probably, I want to say against Kidman. And he left the ring, and that like disqualified him. Oh, Vader just clocked him. He just clocked him, man. 12-12. Wow, a knockdown's 3 points, I guess.
Oh, okay. So if you get to zero, it's over?
Maybe that's when you got to wear a diaper for the rest of the match.
Well, Vader might be wearing a diaper anyway.
Yeah, I mean, see, I don't think there's anything wrong with wearing a diaper in the match because it's one less thing to have to worry about being distracted with. You know, you got somebody locked in like the camel clutch and you just got to go to the bathroom really bad. Do you let him go? If you're wearing a diaper, you can just do what you got to do.
Oh, Vader threw a punch and fell down.
Yep.
Which is actually, it might have been on accident, might have been on purpose, but makes sense with his leg hurting.
Yeah, Tamura's really going to that leg. Vader's
good strategy.
Another rope break.
Vader down to 11.
Mm-hmm. If he just hits a couple more punches, though, he's going to have a commanding lead.
I'm surprised Vader's not throwing haymakers.
Yeah. Well, he's fallen down when he doesn't connect with him, so.
Yeah, earlier on in the match, I meant.
He's really walking on that leg pretty gingerly at this point.
But it's hard to tell the crowd, like, the way it's lit, but there's definitely some open front row seats.
Yeah. And they're locked up now. Oof. Vader's hitting him. Is that a knockdown?
Oh, he got up right back away.
Oh.
Oh, not that time.
But he went down again. It's 11-9. Interesting concept here. Or maybe
it reminds
like a,
me of...
Go ahead.
It reminds me of something like the 70s, like, you know, like an Inoki against Andre the Giant,
yeah.
Where it's kind of a mismatch. So they have weird rules and...
Ooh.
Oh, now...
Ooh. Okay. I don't know. this is a match that does a good job of mixing the blurring the lines of reality and scripted.
Yeah.
Vader just appeared to be like very upset and just swung as hard as he could there.
Vader's a little blown up now.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's going for a slam. Oh. Does that count as a knockdown?
We'll find out shortly.
Yeah, it did. It's kind of like, it's 11-3.
It's kind of like the world's strongest slam without falling on top of him.
Vader with a commanding lead now. It's 11-3.
Just needs one more knockout.
I'm just wondering if, you know, old death matches in Japan. Oh, he's going for it again. Oh, that should do it, right? I mean.
Whoa!
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Oh, he's back up. Powerbomb him. Yes! Now you're dead.
Yeah.
That will do it. He lost his last 3 points, and he's done.
Yep. It's kind of like Hearts in Zelda. He's out. Yep. Winner.
Okay. I was hoping he'd finish him off with a power bomb. 7 minutes, 14 seconds, TKO.
Very interesting concept.
It would definitely not work today.
No. I mean, basically, if you hit a move, you'd have to start with 100 points. I mean. Mm-hmm.
And it would expose.
Yeah.
Oh, they're trying to interview Vader.
But where it was good is, like, I mean, when he started throwing those shots, it looked like he was really throwing those. And maybe he was. I don't know. I mean.
We had a history of being pretty stiff on those forearms. The ring announcer was immediately trying to interview Vader.
He's checking on Tamura. He's clapping for him.
Some sweet Jordan Lowe's that one of the seconds was wearing.
Vader's looking for that handshake now. Oh, and here he got it. He got it.
Which is nice after Tamura disrespected him.
Yeah. So they play it off like almost like a UFC fight just ended, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how it works in UFC. You smack each other around and then you're best buds. So Tamura is the CM Punk of this match.
In WXW, the German promotion, they have a event called Ambition, which is like a one-night tournament, and it is...
Sounds ambitious.
Yeah, it does. It is very similar to this style in that it's like a work shoot. The matches are under 10 minutes. It's knockout or submission only, and it's completely a different style than...
Yeah.
They'll do wrestling moves. But yeah, it was very odd.
So, I mean, this is interesting, but I could see why you'd go more with the wrestling we're accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this one just started. The drama just started, and that was it. You know, like, that was the end, right? Right when it started to get interesting is when it ended.
Yeah. Yeah, WXW Ambition 9, which was from March 10th, 2018. I would recommend checking out that show. It's just kind of interesting. I remember it being only two hours long, so it's a quick watch, and there were some, Matt Riddle was in it, Timothy Thatcher was in it, Walter was in it, David Starr, Mike Bailey, so kind of a who's who of indie wrestling.
I let YouTube keep playing, and the related video that came up is a tag with Gary Albright and Yamazaki taking on Vader and Big John Tenta.
Oh, wow.
That is a lot of beef. A lot of beef. If you don't know Gary Albright,
he was like he had
Steve
a look
Williams,
of Steve Williams, yeah,
but also like Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down,
so. Like a wrestler. I see this too, a wrestler from Nebraska.
Yep.
It was like a step down from Steve Williams. I'd say.
Yeah, he passed away quite some time ago. Which is why you don't hear him talk about it. He was in All Japan for a stretch.
Stampede.
Yep. Suplex guy, you know. But anyways, yeah. So that was an interesting match. I do think Chad made a good choice of that recommendation. We've watched three very different things today.
And that's and we've talked about this so many times before on live watches. That's my favorite thing to do. It's just. I'm not a big fan anymore of just sitting down and watching complete cards.
Sure.
I'm more like, hey, let's watch a couple matches of this, move over to a couple matches of this, and it's so much fun, and it's obviously more fun to do it, you know, with friends in, sure, in a way like this.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect format to watch Jim Cornette wear a diaper. I mean, you've got somebody to mock it with. I don't know that I'd watch that alone.
Well, I mean, we went from a strong style,
yep,
Joshi match,
yep,
from 2018, mm-hmm, to a 1984 Mid-South match that was more of an angle, to, yep, a 1994 worked shoot style with the now late Vader. So,
yeah.
I mean, you can't get much more diverse than that. I think match of the show in mind and easily may go Satomura versus Io Shirai.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they blew me away. That was great stuff.
Yeah,
and you can totally understand why both of them are getting looks from WWE.
Any who was your favorite performer?
I think I liked Mayuko.
Yeah, that was who I was going to pick too. Like, I thought I was expecting to like Io the most. And Mayuko was great with her kind of unique strikes and,
yep,
really stiff submissions.
Yep. Especially, too, like in the Joshi world, and I guess even in like men's wrestling, as I talked about briefly, usually when you see like the powerhouse, but especially in Joshi's, it's like the Bull Nakanos, Nia Jax, you know, like these big, big ladies, you know? So it's kind of cool to see somebody who's just kind of the same size. I mean, she's a little wider than Io, but, you know, she's not overpoweringly, like, just doesn't stand taller over her, but she's just presented as so much stronger and more powerful.
Right.
So I thought she was really, really good.
Who was your least favorite performer?
I want to say, like, my gut instinctively says Stagger Lee, but I think it was Bill Watts. I think the reason why Stagger Lee really wasn't in there much, if he wasn't, mm-hmm, there more, I'm sure he would have gotten it.
Right. The fact that Bill Watts was in there for the, you know, most of the match,
yeah,
and all he would do was punches, and they were good punches.
Sure.
And then, you know, for several minutes, lay on the mat and do nothing but kick your feet.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no. My least favorite performer was the Wizard of Oz or whatever. the diaper grand marshal. I have no idea who that was. He did nothing to like work the crowd. Like, he could have been waving that sheet around, you know, showing some excitement. Instead, he just stood patiently in the corner waiting for Jim Cornette to undress.
See, I think I've settled on a combination of George Gershwin, the Riddler from the original Batman, because that was kind of like the outfit.
Yeah.
And then in later years, he kind of looked like that. And like I said, like a shaved head Betty White.
Yeah, or like a, almost like Alfred Hitchcock, too.
Mm-hmm.
He had the shape of the body shape of Alfred Hitchcock. So, I don't know. A lot of questions I have.
My favorite fan by far was the 50-year-old women just sucking back the 24 to 32 ounce beer.
Yeah, it is funny, like, when you could see her, like, you could legit see her face was flush and the redness in her cheeks. You know she was having a good time that night.
And I cannot recall seeing front row fans at a Japan show, like, drinking.
No, yeah. Neither can I. Huh.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us. We have a whole bunch more,
yeah,
matches that we could take a look for, but unfortunately.
Yeah, and we're always open to suggestions, too.
You know? Oh, absolutely.
Especially with the hidden gems. That was kind of we knew we were going to do a hidden gem, but we just picked it as we were in our break, basically. So we are more than open to you guys who've gone through it. Saving us some despair, unless you like listening to us watch those things. But yeah, if there's something you think would be fun to hear people talk about and watch with us, let us know.
Yep, you can hit us up on, man, I'm going to forget the name of the Twitter account now. Is it Place2BNation?
I believe so.
Yep, you can hit us up, you know, for those who hang out in the Facebook chats, you can hit us up there.
Yep.
Hey, also we set up a PTBN main event Facebook page. It's already starting to get close to 100 people in just a couple weeks, and we'll put some of our matches in there.
You could also privately message Steve and myself, and we can give you our Pokemon Go friend code.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you trade us Pokemon, we'll watch your matches. I think that's fair.
Shinies and Legendaries, yeah. You know, looked for.
Region exclusive, so if there's anyone from Australia or Europe that's listening, Stacy, are you out there?
Yeah. Callum?
Yep.
Our guy Callum?
We need Mr. Mimes and Kangaskhans, please.
All right, well, for Jordan Duncan, I'm Steve Willey. Thank you so much for watching with us. Send in your requests. Send in your love. Send us your Pokemon.
We gotta catch them all. Please don't send diapers.